Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we're continuing with sleeping in the arms of your Jesus. This is so necessary, this rest. You know, Sundays are days of rest where we focus on a deeper union with our triune God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is how we begin every day. We begin every day praying to our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we say we want to fuse ourselves with the reflection of our triune God, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Now, that's what Jesus tells Louisa in volume 17, May 4th, 1925. He tells Louisa that the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. So how are we going to return back to our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God? How are we going to do this? Jesus gives us the way and the how. It's through the new Adam Jesus, the new Eve Mary, and the newborn Louisa Picaretta. So when you read what Jesus tells Louisa, it's very clear. Our job is to return back to God. Our job is to enter into this abundant life. It's to enter into a new beginning for everyone and for everything. So we begin every day with a prevening act. And even when we pray at Holy Communion, the six steps that Our Lady taught Louisa, these six steps that Our Lady taught Louisa on the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, these first six steps are important. So we say to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God, I fuse myself with the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, in order to, the first thing, to sacrifice my human will in honor of you, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you begin with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You pray to the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Because that's what the book of heaven is all about. That's why Jesus calls this the gospel of the kingdom. It's to enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that the saints desired. But the saints had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. With Louisa, it's a whole different story. She is the firstborn, Jesus says, the newborn in the divine will. Who has this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And the whole reason is so that we can go back to where Adam was before the fall to be in God's image and likeness. This is the whole reason for the divine will. We have, for the last 2,000 years, learned how to do the will of God through the lives of the saints. And now God is asking us to live in the will of God. So how does this happen? Jesus shows us the way in the house. So the second step you would be triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fused with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I mean, becoming one with the new Adam and the new Eve and the newborn. To become one with our triune God, the reflection of our triune God on earth. We want to empty ourselves of our human will to constitute the divine will as the principle of our life. Okay, so this is so necessary. Why? To honor you, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did you see what God is doing? He's leading us to a deeper understanding. We did not know about the Sacred Heart of Jesus until God gave St. Margaret Mary a deeper understanding of the Sacred Heart. We did not know about divine mercy until God gave to St. Faustina a deeper understanding of the divine mercy. To the divine mercy, what does Jesus say to St. Faustina? It's the final devotion that I give to my church before I return. This is why John Paul II went all over the world to prepare the world for what? For Jesus' return. When you read Father Gobi, when you read what Our Lady said to Father Gobi, she says, get ready for the return of my son. This is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's happening. The third is triune God fused with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. What do I do? I decide with a firm resolution to no longer give life to my human will. A firm resolution. See, it's not just saying I give up my human will. You really have to go through this every single day to enter into this abundant life. Why? To give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that you, Triune God, rightly deserve. To go back to where we were before the fall. Step four, it's the same thing. What God wants us to do is he wants us to begin to understand why we are alive today. We are alive today because of one thing. We're going to return back to the image and likeness of God. That's what's coming. So we say, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fuse with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. What do we do on the fourth, the third step? No longer give life to my human will. The fourth step, I give to you, God, my God, my human will as proof and my fiat and my acceptance of your test. We are going to be tested. Are you really going to give up your human will or not? And this is what we're going through today, where God is saying, are you willing to be tested by me? We have to take this test. It's the test of Abraham. It's to be free of all earthly loves, to focus on loving God with our whole mind, our whole heart, and all our strength. And then finally, the fifth step, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fuse with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I make the sacrifice of living it without my human will and bind it to the foot of the throne of God for my entire life. Without ever giving life to my human will. What does this mean? This means that we go back to the moment we were conceived, and I want to repair and redo every thought, every word, every deed. This is after you receive Holy Communion. If you can pray this prayer, it's so powerful to enter into this abundant life. And then step six, and this is unbelievable, the sixth day. What happens? We say, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fuse with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I want my soul to take possession of all the divine qualities as much and as possible as imaginable for a soul. Why? To give you, Triune God, all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that you, Triune God, so rightly deserve. Now, in the meantime, what we're doing when we do our rounds, we fuse ourselves with all of creation. It becomes ours. We fuse ourselves with all of redemption. It becomes ours. We fuse ourselves with all of sanctification. It becomes ours. It belongs to us. We enter into this abundant life. And the reason I began with this is because listen to what Jesus says today when we read volume 16, April 11, 1924. Louisa says, I remained oppressed more than ever, and the horrible picture of the turmoil of nature. Everything was falling apart. Earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues, which I had seen in the past days, now become alive before my mind. She's seeing what we are going through right now. Look at all the earthquakes all over the world. Look at the volcanoes all over the world. What's happening? Is this just a fluke? Let's look at this virus, this so-called virus, as some people have said, as some doctors have said. What's happening? She says, then going back to prayer, according to my usual way, I said to my lovable Jesus, since you are determined to lay hand to chastisements, and I, Louisa, could no longer do anything, Luisa would stand, Luisa would say, instead of punishing mankind, punish me. Give me the suffering that you would have given to the world. That's Luisa. This is why once you understand who Luisa is, you see what she has done as Jesus took upon the punishment of the world at Calvary, as Mary co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary, taking on her suffering where her heart was split in two, cut in half because of the sins of mankind, of watching her son die. And now Luisa, Jesus crucified Luisa every day. Why? Why would you do this? She's participating in the life of Jesus and Mary. She's participating in this life of suffering. So what happens? She says, since you are determined to lay hand to chastisements, and I no longer can do anything, either suffer or have people spared the evils that they deserve, could you free me from the state of victim or suspend me for some time? Well, now what was happening is her state of victim is every night Jesus would take her through the universe. She'd become rigid. And the only way that she could come back to her true life, her human life, was if a priest came and blessed her. And how did the priest bless her? He said, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And she came back to life. Does that sound familiar? Wait till you see the connection between Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Mercy. Why we have Divine Mercy, that great connection that's there. She says this. She said, would you suspend me from at least bringing the priest in every day to wake me up? You know, you do it, Lord. Don't bother the priest. This is the humility of Luisa. She did not want to bother anybody. She wanted to stay in her bed to suffer for our relief, if you want to say. Aunt Rosaria, this is Father Bucci's aunt who took care of Luisa for 40 years. Aunt Rosaria said that often she would come into the room and Luisa's whole bed would be covered with blood. The whole floor would be covered with blood. And she'd panic and she'd run out of the room and grab towels and bring it back in the room to mop up all the blood. Because Luisa said, I don't want anybody to know what I'm suffering. Kind of different than us. When we get a sliver, we tell everybody about it. Luisa was very humble, very little. And when Aunt Rosaria would run back in the room to sop up all this blood, there would be nothing there. And but the Lord allowed her to see the sufferings of Luisa, which is all documented. It's very, very interesting who Luisa is. She says this, at least I would spare the other brother. So here she knows that with her sufferings, people were spared. In our life, we all suffer physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are suffering. What are we doing with our cross that God has given to us? Do we drag it behind us complaining and being negative? Or is this the test that God is giving to us? What do we love the most on earth? What I want. Give me what I want. We start out as little babies saying that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Jesus wants to free us from that misery. And we have to turn back to God and say to God, what do you want, Lord? How do you want me to live this day? What do you want me to do this day? Most people, I've got these plans. These are my plans. Even with God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. In the divine will, that I am has to go from us. It has to be turned to Him who is I am. We have to go to Him so that He becomes our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our God, our King. To Our Lady, who becomes our mother and queen of heaven and earth, who leads us to what? Back to Jesus. And so what has Jesus and Mary done, the new Adam and the new Eve? They presented to us the newborn. Just think where we would be without St. Faustina. Think, where would we be without Margaret Mary? Think about the great saints of the church. Where would we be if God didn't reveal to them this treasure, which is all, personal revelation? It leads us closer to Jesus. What Jesus teaches Louisa is the kingdom is coming. Okay? And we'll get into that in a minute. So he says, Jesus says, at least I would spare the other brother. Okay? And Jesus said, my daughter, I do not want to displease you. If you want me to suspend you, I will do it. So here Jesus is saying to Louisa, I'll give you what you want. He always says that to Louisa. Louisa would respond back to God, I only want what you want. And Jesus says, well, I'll give you whatever you want. What do you want? I only want what you want. And she'd say, I'll give you whatever you want, Louisa. And she says, I only want what you want. That's where we have to get to. We have to get to that point of what does God want? People call me and they say, Father, you should do this, 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 or this. I say, whatever God wants. If that's what God wants, it'll be done. If it's not what God wants, it won't be done. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what you want. Our life is to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And God has shown us the way and the how through Louisa. So he says, and I, Louisa, fearing that I might do my human will. Are we afraid of doing our human will? Let's just look at Lent. What have you been doing this Lent? What is your will in praying this Lent? Prayer, sacrifice, penance, conversion. Where is your life? Oh, I think I'll do this, 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 this. Have you talked to your spiritual director? See, you can't do anything on your own. That's what a spiritual director is. Father, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of this, this, and this. I think this is what Jesus is asking me in prayer. That's what you talk to a spiritual director about. Not about, what am I going to do in the future? You might not be here tomorrow. It's this is what I got in prayer. Mainly in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is what Jesus let me become aware of. And I think this is what God is asking. I place it in your hands, Father. What do you think? And the priest isn't there to demand that you obey him. The spiritual director is there to say to you, if you think this is correct, you ask God for make this clear to you. Continue to pray. And if it's not against morals or against the dogma and doctrine of our faith, the priest usually says, good, but let's do it this way. I know one person said to me, I'm going to fast 40 days and 40 nights without any water or food. I went, well, that's starvation, and that's not part of what the church tells you to do. You can't do that. You know, God wants me to go. No, God doesn't want you to do that. You know, he doesn't want you to starve to death. Well, that's what the saints said. You're not a saint. That's what he gave them to do. You're not a saint. To understand what the Lord is saying to us. Yes, he wants us to be saints. But your spiritual direction is essential. So what are you doing this Lent? We're entering into Laetare Sunday. Oh, you know why? This is really interesting. You know why the priest wears the rose vestments for Gaudiamus Sunday and Laetare Sunday? The mystics have said that when Jesus returns, everything will turn into a pink hue. If you read anything about Genesis, if you read anything of what the world was like before the fall, what was paradise like, it was a pink hue. As a matter of fact, things grow better in pink light, rose-colored light. So when Jesus returns, everything will turn into a rose hue, and the priest wears the rose vestments to say to us, hey, it's been a tough Advent. It's been a tough Lent. God's coming. Don't worry. Jesus is returning. So what does God do to remind us? Every morning, the sunrise. Every evening, the sunset. It's a pink hue or similar to that color. Why? He's saying, I am going to return. Get ready. He tells us every single day with our sunrise and our sunset, I am coming soon. Just what he said to Faustina, Saint Faustina, saint and sister. Yeah, Jesus is coming soon. So here, this is what he says. He says, in fearing that I might do my human will, I immediately added, no, my love, my Jesus. Do we talk to Jesus like that? My love, my Savior, my King, my God. My love, you should not say to me, if you want, but rather you should say, here's Louisa giving instructions to Jesus. I am the one who wants to suspend you from the state. It should not come from my human will, but from your divine will. Then I would accept. So not to make me content, but to let your will be done in me. So here, Louisa, this is what we do to God. We command God. We snap our fingers. Lord, this is what I'm going to. The Lord's not our servant. The Lord's not our master. The Lord is our master. We are not the master of our Lord. We humbly come before the Lord, praying. We humbly come before him with a command prayer. It's not, Lord, this is my prayer, now you do it. No, it's, I take this humble prayer, and Lord, I put it in your hands so that it is your command, not mine. That's what Peter did when he walked on the water. He said to Jesus, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Take my prayer and make it your command. Otherwise, I'm not going to walk on the water. So Jesus says, come. He walks on the water. And when he fails and he starts to go down, what does Jesus say? Where's your faith? Why are you faltering? This is my command. It's not yours. Trust in me. Believe in me. Hope in me. Have confidence in me. Jesus says, I do not want to displease you. I want to make you content. He says that to each and every one of us. What do you want? Do you want to go to hell? If that's what you want, I don't want you to go there, but I have to give you what you want. Let's look at the last time we went to confession. Was it a good confession? Was it an honest confession? Or did you hold some things back that you are ashamed of? That's not a good confession. The sins that are not forgiven are the sins that are not confessed. Oh yeah, all this stuff here, you know. No, you confess your sins. You don't have to go into detail. Use the Ten Commandments as your guide. Confess your sins. The priest isn't there to condemn you. Everyone sins. That's what we hear this in Galatians. All fall short for the glory of God. God is calling us back to his glory. But if we're not honest, God knows everything. He knows what we've thought, said, and did, and failed to do. If we are not honest in our confession, we can't be forgiven. I know some people say, I don't have to go to confession. Well, you made your own religion. That's not what Jesus taught the apostles. He said very clearly to his first priests, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Again, we have to understand the reason the Protestant church is fractured into 40,000 denominations is because every person in the Protestant faith or Protestant separation has said, this is the way, not that. This is the way, not that. This is the way, not that. This is why we have the teaching magisterium of the church, our dogma and doctrine. Thank God we're Catholic. He's given us the fullness of faith. And now he says, I want to crown my church with this gift of the divine will. And that's what he's doing. So listen to what he says. He says, if you want me to suspend you, I will do it. However, now this is where we are today. Know that my divine justice wants to follow its course. God's divine justice wants to follow the course. What did Jesus say to St. Faustina? First divine mercy, next divine justice. Divine justice has to come here. Well, for example, if you're going to paint your living room, you take everything out of the living room and you paint it. That's just humanly. That's what we humans do. If the kingdom is coming, Jesus says, if the divine will is going to reign on earth as it is in heaven, that Jesus says is going to happen as creation was planned, as redemption was planned, sanctification is planned. The third fiat is going to happen. The kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. It's going to happen. So Jesus says, this kingdom is so beautiful. He says very, very clearly that before it comes, I must purify the church and the world. This is why everything is happening today. This is why there's earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. This is why there's this virus. Everything is happening because the kingdom is coming. God is getting ready. Well, he's not painting a room. He's ironing the dress, the wedding gown of his church. He's cleaning the stains off the wedding garment of his church. He's making his bride beautiful again, as he began with the bride of Christ coming from the side of Christ as he hung on the cross. It's the church is going to be so beautiful. It's going to be so perfect. We're going to understand what baptism means. Baptism is the beginning of entering into God's image. And now with the book of heaven, Jesus says, I'm going to show you the way and the how, the divine will, this fullness of life in God's image is going to happen. Likeness is going to happen. It's the likeness of God now. So what our Lord is looking, he's looking at us and he's saying very, very clearly, are you ready? Are you ready for what I'm going to do? He says the world and the church is not ready yet. It has to be purified. What do you do when you have a forest, you know, and you say, I want to make this forest no longer a forest, but a place to grow crops. You cut down all the trees. You uproot all the roots. You plow the field. And it doesn't even look like it did. And then what happens? Then you can grow crops. What Jesus is doing is he's cleaning up everything. Let's look at your families. How many in your families, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, how many have God as the center of their life? Not many. Not many. Let's look who's in church. It's many of the people that are in church praying have gone through great sufferings, great losses, and they're there with God. The pain and the suffering that they went through led them to God. And they kneel before him. And what happens? Little by little, the pain, the suffering disappears. And little by little, it's replaced with love. Knowing God, loving God, serving God, possessing God. Where I will go to church. I mean, a lot of people say, I'm going to go. I had a friend of mine. He says, I will stay in church until God answers my prayer. And God always answered his prayer. He stayed in church. And he says, I'm not moving here until, Lord, you help me understand what I'm going through. Help me understand what this situation means. And the Lord would always help him. Our Lord knows what is happening. Read what's to come. It's all happening now. Everything is happening now. Why? The kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. This is a new beginning for all the world. And God is going to wake everybody up. If you want to say it's the awakening that's happening. God is getting everybody ready for what? The kingdom of God that's coming on earth as it is in heaven. Read what Jesus says in volume 24. He tells Louisa that when this happens, it will be as if by magic. All of a sudden, the kingdom is here and everybody's going to say, how did the kingdom of God appear on earth as it is in heaven? How did this happen? And Jesus said, it happened because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. They've learned the way and the how. And they worked one with God, with their fiat. Let it be done as you say. As Our Lady said, the redemption happened because of her fiat mihi. Let it be done as you wish. Jesus died on the cross. Why? He said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. He gave to Louisa the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. You see why we're alive today? God has planned this. He has predestined us to live at this time. He didn't give this book to St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't give this book to St. Francis. He gave it to us. Why? Jesus is expecting us to work with him, one with him, fuse with him and his mother through Louisa. Why? So that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, there will be earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. Yes. But what's the reason? Somebody wrote to me the other day, is God punishing me because of this? God doesn't punish. God purifies. You know, if you have one venial sin, you can't get into heaven. You got to be purged of it. And that's what by purgatory. That's why the majority of people who die go to purgatory. The majority. See, that's what Jesus said, or the Blessed Mother said to one of the mystics. She said that many, when they die, go to purgatory. Most die and go to purgatory. Many die and go to hell. Few die and go right to heaven. You've got to be perfect to get into heaven. And when I hear people say, oh, my buddy's up there playing golf with his buddies. He was a good guy. I told that to the children one time. I said, you know, you can't get into heaven by being good. And the kids all said, well, we're told we got to be good. It's to be holy. To enter into God's holiness. You know, when we look at the lives of the saints, it's very, very clear that Jesus is showing us, he's leading us, he's guiding us to enter into this abundant life. He needs us to cooperate. He's going to do it. Listen to this dialogue that Louisa has with Jesus. And listen to what Jesus says. He says, however, you must know that my divine justice wants to follow its course. God's divine justice is going to happen. Everyone is going to get what they want. If they live a life of hell without repentance, without turning back to God, that's what God has to give them. If they're trying to live a life of heaven in humility, not snapping their fingers at God saying, I want this, this, and this, but in true humility, then God will, if they're not perfect, they'll go to purgatory to be purged of all that is not of the holy humanity of Jesus. Then what the priest says every day when he puts the drop of water in the chalice, then what's going to happen? May we share in the divinity of Christ. That begins today, if we want it, if we want it. Our Lord has many, many plans, great things, and he needs us to cooperate. Excuse me. Well, I wasn't expecting that. So God is good. All right. So there are certain rites of divine justice which one cannot do without, he says. And you and I must surrender to that part. Jesus comes to earth with divine justice. And he says to Louisa, I want you to be in charge of divine justice. And Louisa says, I want nothing to do with divine justice. Find somebody else. And Jesus says to Louisa, this is what you're going to discover. No, you, Louisa, you are going to bring divine justice to the earth. Why a human? Why a human? Adam was a human. Adam wasn't the son of God. Adam wasn't the mother of God. Adam was a human who, because of his original sin, brought all of his children to live in their human will. And now, through the Holy Church, through Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years, while the prayer of Abraham, everyone wanting to turn back to God, those of good will, what's happening is now Jesus is saying to them, I have to give you what you want. What do you want? This is why this Lent is so important. This might be the last Lent for many people. And we have to make this Lent the best. We've got a few weeks left after this. We got Holy Week. Our job is to turn back to God with our whole heart, our whole mind, and all our strength. That this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to return back to him. So he says this. There are certain rites of justice that one cannot do without. He says, so you and I must surrender in part. But since I have placed you, Louisa, in the center of my divine will, in this state of victim, even if you should now sleep, now suffer, now pray, it is always an embarkment for my divine justice. Louisa's coming back, and basically a human says, the newborn, the firstborn, this is what God demands. And what does she say? She says very, very clearly, God has to give you what you've lived for, what you've fought for all your life, what you have surrendered to all your life. This is why Lent is so powerful. It's to go back to conversion, to be converted back into the true life of the new Adam and the true life of the new Eve. And the way and the how this is done is the way Jesus taught Louisa. This book, Jesus says, this book of heaven, he says very, very clearly, is the only book that will transform a soul. He says there's many, many books on earth. We have the sacred scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay, we every day at Holy Mass, we listen to the word of God. Okay, what this book of heaven does, and this is the most amazing thing, it's Jesus speaking to us, maybe not to our ears, but to our heart, our mind, our soul. And what does Jesus say? I'm going to lead you back so that I can produce in you my divine masterpiece. That's what God's planned. Not our masterpiece, but we want. I want to do this. I want to do that. No, no. It's what he wants. What do you want of me, Lord? How do you want me to live? What is your plans for me? Not my plans. That's why it's so essential. When you make a decision to do anything, going shopping, ask the Lord. Lord, is this what you've asked? Is this what you want for me right now? There's three voices. There's the Lord's voice, which is peaceful, joyful, and happy. There's your voice, which is filled with questions. And then there's the evil one's voice, filled with misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We have to begin to distinguish the voices. Is it Jesus that's speaking? Or is it the evil one that's speaking? Am I worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? Am I speaking? Lord, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Or is it Jesus saying, this is what I have planned for you? When we read the book of heaven, we always hear the first voice of Jesus. He speaks to Louisa. If this is not theologically difficult, it's exactly what Jesus said to Louisa, exactly what our God wants us to hear. He's speaking to us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. And then you present it to your spiritual director. In prayer, in my readings, I got this. This is what I think Jesus is asking of me. After a while, it will be easy to determine if it's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, it's not God. If it's peace, joy, and happiness, it is God. If it's questions, it's you. Jesus is asking us, that's a simple way of explaining it. With your spiritual director, he can help you. Okay, this is very, very important. So Jesus says this. He says, but since I have placed you in the center of my divine will, in the state of victim, and that's where we all are, we're victims. We're not doing our human will anymore. Even if you should now sleep, suffer, or pray, it is always an embankment for my divine justice to prevent the course of almost total destruction of things. Okay, God isn't taking everything out of the living room to paint the living room. He's not just clearing the forest to plant a vineyard. The kingdom is coming. Everything that is not of God is going to be gone. That's why he says, prevent the course of almost total destruction of things. In fact, this is not about only chastisements, but about destruction. It's everything that has been built, planned, for the opposite of what God wants. That's all going to disappear. It's all going to be gone. The kingdom is coming. So therefore, when we hear Jesus say this, it's nothing to be afraid of. I say to God, what we were taught a long time ago, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. If I'm in the way, get me out of the way. You, Lord, have to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my all. And I want your will to be done, not my will. My will leads to total destruction. I want your will to be done. And this is why God has given us this Lent. God's will to be done, not our human misery, but God's will to be done. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that everyone become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.